This episode of FilmSack is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Go to audiblepodcast.com/FilmSack and get your free audiobook download today.
Commando! I say again, Commando! This is Whiskey X-Ray 448. I have an emergency priority message for General Franklin Kirby. I repeat, General Franklin Kirby.
General Kirby, you'd better get out here. We have your message on the teletype.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson, and joining me tonight for yet another skewering of a fine film that we dug up on Netflix streaming is Brian, let's just rip that seat out of your car, ma'am, Dunaway.
Remember when I said I would kill you last? Well, it was a scenery right. Now I'm going to kill you like second or third. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have a screenwriter. I can let you go. End scene.
Nice.
Someone get me my book of one-liners.
I can't wait to talk about this movie. Everything you just said got me excited. Also with us, Randy the Matrix Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. You know, this week's movie reminded me of what my wise old grandpappy always used to say. He'd say, "Son, never forget this. When you've got a gun and the other guy has a knife, the only way you can lose the fight is if you're Freddie Mercury during the A Kind of Magic era."
I'm so glad someone else saw Freddie Mercury in that guy. I thought I was going to be the only one.
It's hard not to with that mustache.
Oh, that was great. Rounding us out today, Brian, Steam Pipe Belly Ibbot.
So I'm going to I'm going to drive my car, my bulldozer, right into Surplus City, and then I need to get some bullets. Which bullets should I get? I'll get the ones that make people fly 20 feet in the air when I shoot them.
Scott Fletcher helping us out today a little bit.
That dude so got fired who left the bulldozer keys in.
Oh, my gosh. That, I know.
Next to the Surplus store? What an idiot. Right.
By the way, props to both Brian Dunaway and Randy Jordan, who are both working sick tonight. You guys sound like
a
couple of horses there.
But, I would like to say that this is not me trying to impersonate Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is just how I sound right now.
Me neither. Yeah, I have something in my throat.
Yeah, that's what it was. All right. I am not going to tire of those. I'm warning you now.
I will be
using the cough button liberally.
Or just because you're coughing.
Right, because I'm actually coughing, because I'm trying to avoid this movie.
Right. All right. Well, let's get started then. This is, the movie is Commando, and we have a tradition here on the FilmSack, and that is to let Scott Fletcher say stuff about it before we continue. Should we do that again?
I think we should.
I'm not going to break with tradition. We're going to do it. We're going to do it live.
Commando! Colonel John Matrix, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, the former leader of a special ops team, is vaulted back into action to save his young daughter, played by Alyssa Milano, who has been kidnapped. Her life is threatened lest John assassinate a South American president. Rather than being strong-armed into such a proposition, John takes matters and lots of guns into his own hands as he fights through the jungle against his enemies to save his daughter.
And take out Nick Tortelli once and for all. Does everyone remember Nick Tortelli?
Carlos' husband.
Yeah, Carlos' husband.
I love that.
That's who the dictator of the unspecified fake name.
Wait, you mean that accent wasn't real?
You mean any of those accents weren't real? Oh, yeah. There's a lot of bad accents.
I got news for you. He may have won an award today.
Just did
saying.
He really?
Yeah, he may have won a FilmSack award. Oh. You'll have to wait until that part of the show.
Did he win an award for his robot car driver that drove him from the dock to his mansion for like 5 feet later?
I missed that. What? There's a robot?
You remember this guy? Yeah, no. It's like this guy was totally sitting there. hands 10 and 2, and he was waiting for everybody to get in the car, and he never looks at the camera. He never looks away. He is just the most stiff, robotic actor I've ever seen in my life and drives straight ahead.
Wow. Maybe he was a Terminator.
Terminator.
So this came out a year after Terminator, by the way.
Oh.
It represents our second top, you know, Schwarzenegger in the top. Well, actually, the only other Schwarzenegger movie we've done, I think. Running Man in this, right?
And
Red Sonja.
Oh, Red Sonja. Yeah, I forget about that.
Yeah.
I try to forget.
It wasn't really
that
a Schwarzenegger
Sonja.
Joint, but it was kind of a Schwarzenegger.
He was in it.
He was what? Oh, he's in it, yeah.
He was in it.
Yeah, he was in it. Bridget
Nielsen. We got some flack from a listener this week for calling all these movies joints, and it's just going to make us say it more.
No, we're just going to keep doing it. He's like, since when did Spike Lee have a thing with the stuff, whatever he was saying? And my answer to you, sir, is everything is an everything joint. That's the phrase has been coined. We're going to slap it on everybody. This is actually a Mark L. Lester joint, the director. writers include Jeff Loeb, or Loeb, or however you say it. He is a comic book writer, so that's fun.
Gee, yeah. I can't imagine. Yeah, really?
Yeah, he's good, though, too. He's a really good comic book writer. Oh, you know what? You have to admit, Commando kind of has a comic book feel to it.
It's a total comic book.
I mean, he's basically the Hulk.
It actually would have been a lot of fun to see this movie made exactly, you know, with the same script and actors and everything, but made like Sin City, you know, with the comic book angles colors and so forth. It would have actually been a better movie.
Co-writer was Matthew Wiseman. Neither of these two guys. Well, Jeff Loeb still does a lot of great work, and he was his most unfortunate credit in my mind is he came on to try to save Heroes, and failed.
Mm-hmm. That boulder was already too far rolling down
kinda,
the hill.
Yeah, kind of. But he's done some amazing work in comics, so I was really excited to read that. The stars are primarily Arnold Schwarzenegger and Ray Dong Chong.
Ray Dong Chong.
If I had to put money on it, I'll bet she shows up in more Film Sack movies in the future.
She better.
That's weird that the stars were Schwarzenegger and Ray Dong Chong. Like, to compare her to, there's so many actors in this film that did so much more and better than her. Like, you know, Bill Duke and Alyssa Milano and Bill Paxton even shows up in this film in a few minutes. Like,
game
I don't know,
over,
Ray,
man.
Game over.
Yeah, Hudson was calling the plane and saying, "Don't come in, or you'll get shot," or whatever. And it was really brief, but I guess this would have been before
Shut up,
Aliens.
Jet.
See, he was 2 years from being Hudson.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he was nobody back then.
Mm-hmm.
I hear the new season of Big Love is awesome, by the way.
It is good. Yeah.
I hear it's
I'm just
really
saying,
good.
I will bet you that Alyssa Milano's TV residuals and Bill Duke's, you know, movie and TV residuals are 10 or 100 times bigger than Ray Dong Chong's now.
You're probably right.
Oh, absolutely.
Alyssa Milano, pretty good for a kid actor. I was kind of impressed.
Yeah.
I didn't love the introductory slow, you know, let's
montage.
Feed the deer montage thing. That was kind of dumb.
They were a little bit too much in love.
Yeah.
It was a little creepy.
Having just seen a bunch of her on My Name is Earl, we're rewatching those seasons with my daughter, who's really into it. And she was there for, I don't know, about 5 or 6 episodes, married Earl for a brief period of time.
Yeah.
She's still pretty good. Like, she's a fine actress. I feel like she got kind of slapped with that label of, as a kid from a sitcom from the 80s, and isn't this fun to make fun of? And she kind of does fine. She's good.
If you're not following her on Twitter, you should really follow her on Twitter. She's got some great posts.
If you're a baseball fan,
you follow
Joe Posnanski and Alyssa Milano, like the two biggest baseball writers on Twitter. It's bizarre.
Yeah, it is weird. But anyway, she's
part of one of the greatest live action sequences on Family Guy.
Oh, what was that? I forgot that was her.
Somebody says something like, "Well, he keeps her legs close together better than Alyssa Milano." And then you cut to a live action shot of Alyssa Milano yelling at her agent, "Get someone on the phone."
She did some pretty good SNL digital short stuff too, I think.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, I think so. So she doesn't. She seems to not have a problem laughing at herself a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's still kind of hot. She's actually really hot. She's really cute.
Mm-hmm. Had her own little comedy this past year.
This is like no like self-respecting geeky dude is ever supposed to say this, but I think Charmed is underrated.
You know what? I kind of like Charmed too. I thought it was all right. That was had the 90210 lady with the crooked eyes in it.
Shannon Doherty.
Yeah, she had
Picasso,
the one eye. She had,
walking
one
painting.
Of her eyes. Look at next time you see Shannon Doherty, look real close. One of her She's eyes funny. Is like 3 inches lower than the other one.
That's crazy.
She looks like the Toxic
Chum to
Avenger.
Give her a baby Ruth.
Yeah. She looks like the Toxic Avenger with the like half the other side of her face hanging down a little bit.
Oh man.
Anyway, that was, you know what? I'm going to agree with Randy, and I'm embarrassed. That was a guilty pleasure for me, that show.
Not a bad show.
Man, it was all right. You mentioned Bill Duke. Mm. Dude, Bill Duke is the man.
He is.
And showed up later with Schwarzenegger in Predator.
Predator.
And then you just know this guy every time he's on something. Like, he's just got one of the most unique faces in character actor Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. If you're listening and you're having a hard time placing the name Bill Duke in Predator, he's the one that's always shaving.
Yeah.
Constantly.
slow shaving.
Yeah.
And he's incredibly an intimidating man. Looks very big and tall. He's bald as a jaybird. He has a look about him that his eyes are kind of, I'm sure in the real life, he's the nicest man on earth.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
in movies, he looks like
he could just bore a hole through those eyes.
It's something special.
Looks like he just took a steam pipe right through you.
My favorite actor in the entire movie is David Patrick Kelly, who played Sully and died way too soon, in my opinion. He was my favorite bad guy in the movie. But he's short and smarmy and looks ridiculous
creepy
in that suit. And and for people who don't know, if you've recently seen K-Pax or saw K-Pax when it came out, he was the one kind of super friendly and sure that K-Pax was telling the truth about him being an alien. He was the one patient with the glasses and kind of the balding gray hair. That's that same actor. I love everything that guy's in.
I felt like he overacted in this movie. I felt like he was trying too hard.
Really?
In every scene he was in. Yeah. He was shaking his head like Family Guy's next door neighbor.
Quagmire?
Quagmire, yeah. I don't know. There was just something.
It was a Quagmire character. I mean, it was a Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah.
You know, Quagmire,
kind of a douche, like, following girls around, being all smarmy.
Also, he's like 5'3", and he's in a movie with 6-foot-tall people.
Yeah, him and Bill Duke on the same team. Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, it makes him more even creepier.
Who was the one with Bill Duke at the beginning in that ridiculous garbage man scene?
I don't know, but
I never saw him again.
Opening montage of Bill Duke killing people just randomly. I was like, it seems so weird.
Yeah, there was really no big payoff to that. I mean, it was just like, all right, he's a badass. Great,
it was a pre. It. See, my opinion, this movie is such a pre 9/11 kind of joint. How you like that, listener?
Yeah.
That it doesn't. It didn't. It. We didn't know yet how to make anything really scary or whatever, because it's just the guy's got a remote detonator, the guy showed up with a gun and shot a guy who was just late getting his garbage out.
Right.
Was he even his target?
What a great plan.
Yeah, these were all men on Schwarzenegger's team on his
okay, so that guy running that stuff out in his socks was supposed to be on Schwarzenegger's
exactly
team.
That's what I had the biggest problem with, is like, all right, these guys are supposed to be an elite strike force, you know, that Schwarzenegger was the commander of. And I'm just going to go walk out there in my socks. Oh, it's not trash day. I'm going to run out there anyway with, you know, no sort of protection and no, you know.
That was his toll. And that was the whole plan they had, too. It's like, oh, well, you know, if we drive down the street, the guy will think, oh, it's trash day, and he'll come running out. No one else came running out.
Right. Yeah.
Obviously, he has some kind of trash fetish.
I didn't even think about that. I've done that before, right? I had to run down the street because we had so much trash from Christmas and I forgot the new day that they set, because you know they always mess up the days. And I'm just running down the street. And they didn't shoot me, though, or wear bandanas. Yeah. But
right. And what are they going to do, you know, if the guy says, oh, you know, screw, he's going to stay in bed. He's going to say, you know, screw it, I got an extra trash can that's still
that's
not
what
full.
I'm
I'll
thinking.
Just use that this week.
Well, this plan didn't work. Let's try it again tomorrow. Let's come back.
Bit of trivia for you. The shopping mall, Sherman Oaks Galleria, used is the same one they used in Terminator 2 Judgment Day, which is kind of cool.
Did you guys not see that coming? I mean, I've seen this movie before, but even then I was thinking, oh, those tube things that are running through the mall, oh, he's going to totally jump on those things.
There is an incredible stunt in this movie. I'm blown away.
A lot
away
of incredible stunts.
Because the one where he breaks off, which I don't know how he is supposed to have done this, but he breaks off a piece of tubing and swings like Tarzan over and lands on a elevator.
Yeah.
That thing is shot from a high angle looking down, and you can see the stuntman has no net.
Yeah.
No.
He
does it perfect.
Well, and it has to be timed with the elevator going down.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It felt like one of those early 80s era of stunt stuff that I don't think they do as much anymore. It's not as covered. Or they fake it digitally. You know, they're like, well, we no longer have to put Jimmy Jim over here in life's peril. because we can just digitally add that elevator and it's just a big green screen. But back in the day, man. Oh, that's the other. I wanted to actually say this about the aesthetic of the film. I felt like the entire thing looked like a Fall Guy episode in a way. Like it used that. It was that kind of.
I could see that.
It was that kind of treatment, yeah. Right? The music was horrific.
Oh, come on. You don't like
disagree.
Steel drums?
Completely disagree.
Steel drums were freaking it. Awesome.
And all the sax and everything.
Bing, 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 bing.
I really enjoyed the music in this movie.
Not, but only ironically, I hope.
No.
Oh.
I was entertained by the music too.
I'm like, there was something about, and I don't know if you guys had it cranked up. I had it cranked up in my surround sound and everything. And those steel drums, it was so unique to this movie.
Yeah.
It was freaking incredible.
How did it belong in this movie?
Somebody said, this is,
you know what we should do for this movie is let's have a steel drum.
It felt like, you know what it felt like? It felt like the kind of music you'd have at a poetry slam.
Yeah.
Like the guy would be up there going, the tree reaches out, touches the man, and the music in the background is going beep, 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 beep. It's just like, all right.
I was thinking more like it was cruise ship music. You know, like it's, Lido deck, you've got the buffet out. Everybody come enjoy.
But even the steel drum stuff you can get away with. But for me, it was all that sax. It kind of reminded me of that.
The sax bothered me.
I still believe or whatever guy.
I hate
it. It is easier to tear down than to build up. I am not going to over-defend this.
I'm going to defend it because I'm going to say that it was a steel drum is usually very happy, and they played this in a like an off key or something. It was different.
A steel drum played poorly is what you're saying.
Exactly, and it worked.
All right, Deluxeway versus Gibbet.
Team Deluxe Away.
Because I think you guys are smoking crack.
Be a thick boy over here on the same team.
Oh, by the way, that mall is totally remodeled now. So if you went there hoping to see what you saw, they've completely done it different since then.
No more tube things coming down?
Nope. No more Terminator 2 / Commando looking place. It's all changed.
This is the second week in a row we've done a movie that had big mall fight scenes.
No, that was week before.
Oh, you're right.
Last week was Lost Boys. They didn't have a mall. They needed one, though. That was the whole problem with those kids.
Yeah, they had a carnival.
All they had was a cave and a Jim Morrison boardwalk, poster.
I'm a boardwalk.
Right, a boardwalk.
Same.
When you went out of ideas.
Just a permanent carnival.
here's my favorite bit of trivia. In 1986, the sequel was written by Stephen E. D'Souza. We've seen him before. Lots of movies we've covered. And revised by Frank Darabont with an eye on having John McTiernan direct. McTiernan. The script was based on a book by Nothing Lasts Forever in 1979, but Roderick Thorpe was the author of that. But Schwarzenegger was not interested in reprising the role, so the script was then reworked with a new central character, eventually played by Bruce Willis, and it became Die Hard!
Yippee-ki-yay.
Get out of here.
The coolest thing you've ever heard?
So cool.
I love it.
And to think of Arnold saying he doesn't want to revisit the character, he revisited the character perfectly in so many other films.
He was the character.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think we should do that Raw Deal. I think we should do Raw Deal on Film Sack sometime. Same exact character.
Yeah.
Precisely the same.
I haven't seen, I did the same thing in this movie. I hadn't seen it in so long. I don't remember a thing about it. It was almost new to me. And of course, in Ibbitt's case, this is brand new to you.
It was new to me.
Ibbitt's never seen it.
Yeah.
No, this was new. I don't know what it was. This one I never saw. I never saw Raw Deal and I never saw Red Dawn.
Wow. Yeah.
Isn't that also Schwarzenegger?
We got some Arnie movies to do.
I always thought they were the same movie.
Oh, not Red Dawn.
Christian Slater. That's Patrick Swayze.
Oh, yeah, no.
Patrick Swayze, Patrick Swayze.
Go Wolverines or whatever.
You're thinking of the one where he's a Russian.
Yes.
And the cop is Red Heat. And the cop is Jim Belushi or James or John.
Right. I always thought these were all the same movies, so I never saw them.
It was regarding Jim. Screenwriter Jeff Loeb originally wrote the script with the intention of having Gene Simmons in the main role as Matrix.
Weird. How come there's so many movies that we've looked at that Gene Simmons was supposed to be like the lead actor and he never did?
He had a lot of hot prospects back then, I guess.
Yeah,
something going on.
Nick Nolte was also considered, he says, but eventually they went with Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger's in his prime in this. He looks really great.
Yeah.
He's not hit his acting prime yet. And he doesn't do that till True Lies, in my opinion, but he looks great. Like that's that dude when he is as tough as nails and he walks funny. I
of course he does.
But yeah, the guy, the dude, bodybuilders like that, they freaking walk funny.
Yeah, it's because their balls don't shrink at the same rate, so they end up with one much smaller than the other.
Funny.
They walk like something's swollen. It's weird.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, Arnold, I was worried that Arnold would look too big in this movie because he did. He was such a big bodybuilder, but he actually was very proportional in this movie.
Yeah. Well, they went out of their way to show you him by himself and not really a lot of comparison shots where he's with the other actors, except for his
horrible, horrible body double that was constantly
bad. That was pretty bad. Like a little fat, squatty guy with a bad toupee.
Right.
But what was great is the real contrast came when this arch enemy that used to be someone who trained him, or he trained the Australian dude, the Freddie Mercury guy.
He was in his group, yeah.
That guy's not in the same class. He's just
come
a
on.
Frump.
Anybody with a sweater vest of chainmail is okay in my book.
Cable knit, yeah, look like a big cable knit sweater.
He's not a threat to anyone, but maybe the girl, I guess. But he just was like stupid. That was a terrible, terrible. This is one of those movies. It's a bit of a I don't know if you call it. Well, we'll call it a trope. It's kind of like when you in a movie you have two bad guys. You have the main guy who's kind of orchestrating everything, and then you have his henchman and they did it in Die Hard too with like the Amish dude. So you had Snape, who was a big problem, but then later he had to kill the Amish guy.
Voldemort. Yeah.
Right. And then the Amish guy shows up again at the end, you know, last second, and the TGIF cop shot him in the gut. I can't think of anyone's real name, so I can only think of their associated projects.
Well, and sometimes you have Snape and Voldemort and Malfoy. You know, it's like they like to layer in the bad guys.
He was on he was on the Urkel show, right? The cop?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was.
He was on the Urkel show, or as we'd like to call it, Family Matters.
All right. Did I tell you Scott Fletcher recorded this?
Shit, Gratifter.
Just throwing that out there.
Nice.
All right.
I still want that for my ringtone.
You can have it. I need to send it to you. The mansion used for the final shootout between Matrix and Arius is the same mansion that you see in the final shootout between Axel Foley and Victor Maitland in Beverly Hills Cop in 1984.
Yeah. Mm. Can we stop acting like Matrix was a good name for
it? It was a terrible name.
Yes.
Not just because of what's come since, I don't think.
No.
There's no Eastern, really Western German, because he claimed he's from East Germany or something. It's like,
is it Austrian? Is it a long, old Austrian name? Matrix? I don't think so. German? No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. It's stupid.
Yeah,
John Matrix?
John Matrix.
Someone kick him in his malformed testicles.
They were totally trying to go for a G.I. Joe kind of thing in this movie, for sure. And you know, they made dolls and everything.
He was unstoppable.
Action figures.
If you ask me.
And commando action figures, really?
Oh, yeah. Like they got an 18-inch commando action figure. Are you kidding me?
Oh, I want that. I want that.
Ooh, I do too.
This game made me want to have a video game based on it.
Yeah, I can see that.
I bet there is.
And basically Duke Nukem is, you know, all those kinds of 80s action kind of things are kind of summed up in this character pretty much. But I think it would make a really fun stealth combo action game today. Mm-hmm. Based on Commando, because he was doing some great stuff, man. You could show up on the beach in your Speedo and then change in everything else and then go take everybody out and put camo on for no reason because you were never hiding. You could do all that.
there was unreleased Atari 8-bit version of this.
Oh, there was?
The Commando. Yeah, there was one for the Commodore 64, the 2600.
Wow. Yeah, released, I didn't know
released
that.
Released by Capcom way back in the
day. But I didn't know it was based on this movie.
I don't know if it was actually on this movie, but you know, the whole idea of Commando is going to be pretty related. Anyway.
Yeah, it's an 80s thing for sure. But just unstoppable. You have hardly any guns and weapons, but you're taking everybody out. All these trained, you know,
man,
dudes.
He is total feats of strength.
Yeah, and it's beyond tropey. It's into this whole realm of its own.
Yeah.
You know, like we've all seen many movies and TV shows where the good guy gets shot at, never gets hit, and the bad, you know, he shoots a few rounds and bunches of bad guys fall down. This is like he's got some sort of magic.
Mm-hmm. He has superpowers. I was going to want to talk about this during the show. Can we name all the feats of strength he does?
Yeah, let's do that. I mean,
you can never name them all.
Let's name the ones we remember. So I like this idea. This is pretty good.
All right.
Flying away from a grenade.
Yeah.
So he didn't just get blown away. He jumped and flew before it blew up.
He used the propulsion of the grenades
to get to survive.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
He survives a massive car wreck at the beginning where he throws himself down a mountain in a car.
like a Bronco with no brakes.
That's right.
It's right. And later on with what is that little foreign car he was in that he wrapped
Fiat
around
or whatever
pole.
It was? Yeah.
Wrapped around the pole, just reaches over and goes, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, right."
Immediately after that wreck, he is laying on his back in like a Muay Thai defensive stance, and he kicks some dudes in the stomach, and they fly like 20 feet. That is an amazing feat of strength. Like, if you were standing over me and I kicked you in the stomach, you actually wouldn't move.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, how about when he rips the seat out of the car?
That was pretty good. Awesome. I still don't know why the hell he did that.
I don't either, because he was sitting up for pretty much the whole chase.
It didn't make any difference. I thought, oh, he's going to lay down, and then it'll be really hard to see him. But nope, he just sat there. Like, I prefer springs up my ass when I sit in the car.
That's right.
He clean and jerks a phone booth with another human being, an adult, in the phone booth.
I love that. That was a great scene. But you got to admit, that was awful cool, though. It's like, that's so stupid.
But that's the point. Damn. It's the feat of strength. That's awesome.
Guy's only 5'3", though. That's true.
Hey, how about when he breaks the chains at the warehouse? I mean, he just literally just takes them and breaks them. He's got guns. He could have shot it, but he just went snap.
Yeah,
he breaks a man's neck sitting in an airplane next to him, seated, using only his upper body. He breaks a man's neck, and then he proceeds to throw himself out of an airplane from what I guess we could all averaged out our estimates of the distance he was from the swamp he landed in. I would guess we'd all say about 100 feet.
About 100 feet, and he had to have been going at least 100 miles an hour. That's
more airspeed. Yeah, he was going airspeed.
Yeah,
so.
And he still managed to land in some grass and not even get his head submerged.
Yeah, the stunt guy just jumped off of a crane that's just barely out of the shot.
Right.
And the stunt guy has this perfect back landing form, but it doesn't look like he's fallen very far.
No.
Oh, man. So what about pathetic. What about when he picked the guy up by the balls? Bill Duke, when he picked him up by the balls.
I'm telling you, man. It was like a superhero without it being. That's why I really felt like Jeff Loeb's kind of thing came through here. Like, that's kind of what he brought to the table, intentionally or not. He made
him
superhuman.
Close to the most impressive feats of strength in the movie. I sent you guys a screenshot that I took while I was watching
circular
it.
Saw blades. Yeah,
he throws a circular saw and blade and chops the top of a guy's head off with it.
I love that. I died laughing when that happened.
Seriously, you could put a circular saw blade in a baseball pitching machine and all it would do is bounce off my skull.
Yeah.
But somehow he chopped off the top of a guy's head.
Was that just not totally cool?
Great.
And the guy probably would not be dead either. I mean, it just kind of like scalped him, but boy, he'd be really pissed. I'm like, oh, son of a.
Yeah.
Just the other day in North Vancouver, there were these guys who were mugged, and the mugger had a machete. And he swung as hard as he could and hit the guy in the head, his victim, with a machete. And they published pictures of it. And it's gruesome. But the victim survived, and he just had to be stitched back together because the machete didn't go any further than his skull. You know?
Wow.
And so the idea that you could throw a circular saw blade through a guy is just ridiculous.
But didn't you go, oh, man.
Oh, yeah. I paused it.
That kind of stuff is what I had the most fun with.
Me too.
I loved that. I loved it. It was over the top and ridiculous and dumb and just fun. I really had a good time with this movie, by the way. Mm-hmm. Just had a great time with it. In fact,
it was terrible.
It's pretty terrible. Don't get me wrong. But it's that great kind of terrible.
Even like every time.
There's a scene when Arnie's taking on that whole army on the Banana Republic.
Yeah.
There's a scene where he kills two guys with knives simultaneously. He throws, one with each hand.
Yeah.
And simultaneously hits his mark on two different people. And all I'm saying is that is supernatural ambidexterity.
Oh yeah.
Supernatural.
So is when when you're shooting your gun by just waving it in a random pattern, but taking out strategic targets 300 yards away.
You know what else was supernatural? When he wore that Aquaman Superman Speedo that he wore when he was swimming to the island.
Looked good, because man.
You realize he had that on the whole movie. That's what he was wearing around under his pants.
Those are his underpants. I see. Arnie's underpants.
Silky briefs.
Yeah. I love him. He was a specimen, dude. That guy was built.
Oh, totally.
I mean, that was his whole thing, obviously, but he was unnaturally big, but he ended up having the right look. Height, face,
yeah,
whatever, to make him this really important action star that this movie really hit home for me. And Running Man, meh, it's kind of like, whatever. I don't know why I liked Arnold so much. But in movies like this, I go, okay, now I get it. I get why he was so big. And I get why Van Damme was and stuff like that.
He should have been half naked through Running Man instead of wearing that jumpsuit.
Totally agree. Run around that Speedo. He should wear that wherever he goes. And you know where I thought he looked really cool? Is in the mall, post jumping off the landing gear of the plane. And he looked just thrashed, like kind of sunburned and torn and wet and just kind of nasty. He looked great. Mm-hmm. Like I would want that guy on my side. And I was so pissed at that Holly Robinson looking chick, what's her name, Radon Chong, for turning him in.
Didn't you get pissed? Right. But you don't know why. You're like, well, duh, of course you would. But
I know, but it made me mad. Pissed. I was mad. But yeah, we'll talk about how she got to hang around here in a minute. That's so dumb. he killed 81 people, by the way. 81 people. He killed by himself.
And Radon Chong, by the way, we haven't mentioned it yet, was the daughter of Cheech and Chong. Well, of Chong.
Of Cheech. Not of
really?
Cheech.
I know, I love that.
Radon Cheech would be the daughter of Cheech.
Wait, so he's older than I think he is then. Wow.
He's up there. Because
she would have been in her 20s here, right? At least.
Yeah.
She had to be.
Because she's 20s, yeah. She was born in 65, so.
61.
Oh.
61. What? Oh, yeah. So she's she's pert near 50.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck to her.
Married for a short while to C. Thomas Howell.
Soul Man.
Yes.
Was it his ridiculously?
Why have we not watched Soul Man?
Was it his racist portrayal of a black person that got her interested?
Things?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, either began or ended things.
We should watch that, Brian. I agree.
February. It's Black History Month. I mean, oh my God.
We should watch Soul Man to celebrate.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so bad.
We should watch Black Like Me.
Yeah, that's not a good one. Mm-hmm. Oh, you could never. I was talking to you on the morning stream, Brian. We were saying they would never make Soul Man today.
No. Yeah.
Wouldn't make it out of the gate.
It would never fly.
Isn't that usually the Blazing Saddles comment?
I don't know. Is it? Blazing Saddles, I think you could do. That satire, it's different.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, I think so.
You think you could get away with white folk dropping the N-bomb that much?
Oh, maybe not that. But you're probably right about those bits and pieces. But I think the overall arc of that thing would probably work today. Mm-hmm. But I think Soul Man would not.
I totally think Soul Man could work again.
Oh, no. Unless, you know what? Okay, do it the other way around.
What was the movie? White Chicks?
White Chicks.
White Chicks.
White Chicks.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
You can get away with that, but
yeah,
I think it'd be funny to do like white guy being a Chinese guy.
I'm glad. I like these kind of movies because I wish we all could take a little bit of this humor and just go, okay, let's just get over it. Let's just dig it and get over it.
There's a lot of that. You know where you get a lot of that is stand-up. Stand-up's really good for breaking down those barriers.
Yeah.
I like that about good stand-up comedy. Takes race and says, let's look at it from this angle. And it can be, you know, you can get away with a lot and makes people relax and laugh. And
that's one of the reasons why I love David Chappelle. My wife hates him. But I felt like he was an equal opportunist.
The best thing he ever did was very, I thought, poignant, racially speaking, when he was playing that white supremacist. He thinks he's a white supremacist, but he's a blind black man who thinks he's this amazing white supremacist and he's in charge of this huge group of anti-black people, but he's a black guy. He just happens to be blind, and because of the way he was raised, he's assumed the whole time he was a white guy. It's the funniest thing ever. It's really good. Hey guys, don't mind me. I'm just bumping in here real quick to talk to you about audible.com. I have a recommendation this week. I had Stephen King on the mind. They're making the Stand into a new theatrical release film. Pretty excited about that. In the meantime, I really like the audiobook version of It by Stephen King, narrated by Steven Weber, or stare-nated by Neven Weber. Just kidding. It's up on the site right now, unabridged, and part of Audible's great selection. So many titles to choose from, periodicals, all kinds of crap that you can't get anywhere else if you consume your content via audiobook reading or through podcasts and stuff like that. These guys are perfectly suited for your lifestyle. Here's the kicker. If you're already a member, that thing's only $8, that book. $7.49. I don't know if you've seen it in real life. Big fat book. In audible.com's mind, you should only pay $8, and that's awesome. Or if you're not a member, you can get this book for free. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack and get your free audiobook download today.
That's brilliant.
That's kind of surprising to me how much Dave Chappelle affected the landscape.
Yeah.
With only two and a half seasons of
And then him, and then him leaving, basically, you know, and just saying, "I'm done, I'm out." But you're totally, right.
I just this week heard a Wayne Brady got a chokabitch joke on ESPN. Just this week, like 5 or 6 years after Dave Chappelle did that.
Wait a minute, Wayne Brady, the dude from
whose line is it anyway?
And,
I like that.
The Wayne Brady Show.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that at all. What is that? What's that
show
about?
The whitest black man alive, basically, is what he makes fun of himself, basically.
Wow. Weird. Yeah, that's his whole purpose on the Dave Chappelle Show, Scott, is to say Wayne Brady got a choke-a-bitch.
I don't remember any of that.
That's right.
All right. Raul Julia should have been the dictator. I'm just throwing that out as my own opinion.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Because what do you hire Nick Tortelli for? And not to say, that same year, or was it the year before? Anyway, the guy who played Nick Tortelli, this actor, who I like in other things, was brilliant in Blood Simple, the Coen Brothers' first movie. Really good in that.
That is such a good movie.
And it's so funny how you'd see a movie like Blood Simple with that incredible role, and then you see him do this garbage.
Well, he's so much better as like just a Weasley, you know, Weasley guy who has no power whatsoever than this character where he's, you know, where he's trying to get into power, where he's like a deposed dictator, but you know what I'm saying, like
trying to rise
get
up
into
and take over.
Power.
Yeah, exactly.
This was like Richard Jenny, like playing the role of a megalomaniac.
That's just a good way to put it. If Richard Jenny wore nothing but brown suit pants and stupid pocketed looking, it looked like it's blah. Anyway, so go back to playing creepy Italians and you'll be fine.
He did a great job.
Okay. We talked about the steel drums. I want to do a trope here. Let's do it. Let's do a trope. Trope. Okay. My trope is
there were tropes in this movie.
Huge dude is who's been through a lot, who's seen the worst of humanity, right? Mm-hmm. Tough as nails, seen everything, been to war, but is really just a big soft daddy who feeds the deer with you.
Aww. And he takes you to get ice cream at Mount Baldy.
Yeah, he's not scarred. He's not scarred and ruined by his experiences.
And they have the same freaking flavor of ice cream.
Exactly. Let me taste yours. Tastes just like mine.
Yeah. It tastes like vanilla, just like mine. Weird.
We both ordered the same one.
I think I kidnapped this girl. She's not even my daughter.
Exactly.
Mount Baldy Baskin Robbins, only one flavor.
Try all one of our many flavors.
That's right.
Also, I have some complaints about that helicopter that came early. You're part of the I was sure, by the way, that Colonel guy was going to turn. Like, I kept thinking that was going to happen. Like, even right at the end, is like going to find out he was behind it all, or he was screwed up, or whatever. But when he first came to notify Arnie that, hey, there's these assassins after you. Oh, and by the way, they'll be here 2 seconds after I leave.
Because they followed me.
They fly that helicopter, like, they do it totally, buzz the cabin. Like, the thing comes right up to the window. I'm thinking, okay.
It's right out of the A-Team. That
totally.
Bit.
Yeah. I guess, you know, when you got a guy like Schwarzenegger's character, like John Matrix, you don't want to sneak up on him in a helicopter.
Exactly.
You want to say, hey, we're coming. We're coming. Here we come. Okay, just so you know. Do you see us? All right, good. Don't throw any buzzsaw blades at us or anything up here.
I got a very bothersome trope.
Uh-oh. Oh, maybe wait. We'll add a little bit of...
Ding, dong, diddly.
All right, what do you got?
Bennett shoots him in the arm, right? He gets shot in the shoulder, which is not necessarily life-threatening, but a horrible place to get shot. You know, that arm is just going to hurt like hell. And then he proceeds to beat the crap out of Bennett in a fist fight. They grapple, including ending by throwing a pipe like a spear.
Yep.
And he does it with his good arm when he actually throws the pipe. But I just want you to imagine even opening a door when your other arm is shot. You're going to just be in so much agony.
There's your other feat of strength too, right?
Yeah. The superhuman power number 75.
Yeah.
You're assuming he's a wussy nerd like us. Now this is Arnold freaking Schwarzenegger.
But other people get shot here and there and they're dead permanently. Yeah, cease to breathe. Yeah. Arnold gets shot in the arm and it's nothing. Yeah. Nothing
yeah.
to him.
Yeah. I mean, he complained.
That is the thing. Bad guys die with one bullet. Good guy, 50. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. It was the indestructible action hero of the 80s.
You know what was great is they all died a lot like this, though. Like that.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of leads into another trope that I was thinking of.
Oh, really? What do you got?
I really say it's a trope as much as a cautionary tale to all bad guys out there. Hey, attention bad guy lackeys. Stay away from fights with superheroes such as near electricity or steam pipes or spiky fences.
Electricity.
But apparently electricity doesn't kill you if you're manly.
No. It can make you scream for like 5 minutes.
And then
you
get a boy. I thought he was so dead.
It's invigorating, right? I captured that whole bit, so we'll play that later because it's funny. It's one of my favorite whole, the entire movie, my favorite audio is just a bunch of grunting and screaming.
I wonder how many bad guys have died through electrical shocking, steam pipe to the face,
Oh, tons. I could name some here.
Yeah.
In fact, didn't we see, this happen, electricity and water with lock up, was it?
Yeah. Time cop.
Or in time with
Tom. Oh, and lock him.
Yeah,
too,
both
yeah.
of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the taser.
That was a lot.
The slow moving taser in Time Cop.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I'm pretty sure there were some steam battles and steam fights also in Time Cop.
Oh, right.
If there's steam a steam fight. Pipe, don't be near it. The good guy will rip it open and spray it in your face.
And all it makes Darth Vader do is go,
brr. wearing that thick armor, and he still was like, it's like that. All right. Where are we? I don't know where I'm even at. Oh, okay. May as well get it out of the way. The trope, the idea of the dad says, "Don't worry, I won't go anywhere," which means worry he's going to go somewhere.
That's right. Yeah, there was even a setup at the end that it was kind of like, okay, there may be a part two. Yeah. The man wants you back.
He kind of shut it down.
Right. Yeah, the end with the woman coming out of the water, walking toward you, looking like, so are we going to get it on now? That whole, you know what? If you're going to have a single adult female in a movie and she's supposed to be the entire sex appeal for the whole movie, she should be sexy.
Agreed. Not all frumpy.
That is actually a trope in a lot of these movies. Yeah. They don't want to be accused of having a supermodel, so they go the other way, and it's not sexy at all.
Kid sat in a crib its entire infant life while Chong blew freaking pot smoke in her face.
I think Ray Don Chung is wicked hot. Absolutely,
I thought she was pretty.
She
sexy.
Is just not in this movie.
I thought she was fine. You know, she of course she had the 80s shoulder pads going on for coming out of the water, and it was a little bit drippy. But you know, other than that, it was all right. But
I think she's very attractive.
Oh, you got another one, Brian? Hold on.
Go ahead. How many movies have I watched that some military guy has retired or quit because of some kind of traumatic event, and he moves to the mountains and says, "No way in hell am I ever going back to this shit." And then, sure
Rambo.
Enough, they.
The answer is all of them. They all
the
do
shooter.
It. Yep.
They
the shooter.
There.
Yep. That was Marky Mark, right? That was the whole deal with him.
Absolutely.
Yep. Canyons are the thing to go hang out
in. I would be curious. Was this like one of the first ones, though? I would be curious to see if this goes so far back.
Trendsetter, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe so.
No, that's a Western theme from all the way back. It goes back to predates film.
Oh, your predates film?
Yeah, I would say that's true of... what's his name? Zane Grey novels do this all the time.
Yeah,
there's always a character like that. And then like what's his name? Money and freaking Unforgiven. That's his whole thing. He's outside. I left that life behind me. I'm starting fresh. Well, we need you to come into town and blow up some stuff. Oh, okay. And then
gonna do it. Yeah. Then we'll steal your daughter.
Yeah, we'll take your kid. Then you're pissed. Now you're jumping out of planes.
At the risk of beating a dead horse. I realize that she might serve the dual role of being both sex appeal and comedy relief, especially when she fires the rocket the wrong direction, right. That sort of thing.
But trying to fly the plane. No. Yeah. Oh my gosh. What's this button do? No.
Yeah.
P.S. If I'm ever in a life or death situation, do not save me with a rocket launcher.
Yeah.
I don't know, Brian. I might.
Fire a rocket launcher at the vehicle containing the person you're trying to save.
Please don't.
Yeah, he emerged out of there looking pretty good.
Well, get of strength.
Yeah. And then he killed killed those guards again.
Arnie can take a rocket.
Dude, people were dying left and right in this movie. There were a lot of deaths, and they all seemed pretty trivial. You know?
Well, and it certainly didn't seem like she was in any trouble. She was in the surplus city with him, shoving stuff into a shopping cart. And
I'm going to say
and they just let her walk out with the vehicle full of full of weapons from the surplus city.
Yeah, no, she's the,
oh, that was so funny.
She's the goofiest thing in the movie, in my opinion. But I absolutely loved. Let me tell you the point I loved all the way through was the minute he walked on that plane, scoped the thing out, figured out doors, looked at stuff up and down, got a blanket and a pillow, broke the dude's neck sitting next to him, got up, went down to the landing gear, broke through some kind of weird fake barrier in a plane that I didn't know existed.
Yeah, ripped it open. Not open during takeoff.
Is riding on that thing on the tarmac, goes up in the air, falls into the thing. I was in for the count.
It was awesome.
Loved it.
I was in with the how much stress it used to be during the 80s before cell phones were really popular.
Oh,
because
or the internet.
Yeah, or the internet, because every time somebody wanted to tell Arnold, they had to run and say, oh, give me a quarter. Somebody got a quarter.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Imagine how much easier he could have found that compound if he'd had Google Earth.
Yeah.
There was somebody was talking about a movie the other day that we covered where they could have the whole thing was fixed with a single phone call.
It's true.
It's a lot of movies.
My favorite is the first Harry Potter movie, where if at any time during the film, Harry just goes to Dumbledore and tells him what he knows, it's over.
Yeah. Finished, complete. Well, he was young. He was 11.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. What else is good here? We don't know why I ripped the seat out. That still just bugs me. Mm-hmm. I love the one-liners. We're back to the great one-liners that are just terrible.
Yeah. So these are the well-written ones as opposed to the Jean-Claude Van Damme ones.
Yeah, but it's things like when he's hanging the guy over the cliff and she goes, and he drops him and he comes in the car. What happened to so-and-so? I had to let him go.
All right, there's Scott's. Brian Ibbett, give us a one-liner.
Yeah, give us one. What do you got?
Let off some steam.
That was the
steam pipe.
That was the one I wanted to use.
I regularly use the line when he tells the stewardess that he shouldn't bother the guy he just killed. He's dead tired.
Yeah,
he's
that was a good one.
Yeah, right.
I think Fletcher actually did that one.
One from the chick is... these guys eat too much red meat.
Oh, yeah. She's complaining during their fight.
Yeah.
That they're too,
during our booby scene.
They're too manly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the booby scene.
Can we talk about the booby scene for a minute?
Yeah. Let's talk about boobies. Go ahead.
Am I the only one that was disturbed by the position these people were in? Because they were in doggy style, but she was on top. I mean, it's a little.
Exactly.
Ew. I don't know what they were doing.
Ew. I wasn't paying that close attention, I guess. I did not remember any of that, but
that's why you get a motel room.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's called, you know what that move's called? It's called the
cheeseburger.
Yeah.
So this couple's doing the cheeseburger, and Bill Duke and Arnold Schwarzenegger are fighting, and they fly out of their hotel room into this couple's
hotel room. How often does this happen?
And what the couple basically does is they lose the sheet halfway down their bodies, and then they just watch the fight and scream.
Yep.
This happened in The Running Man too. Remember,
they don't interfere. They don't throw lamps. They don't fall off the bed and try to get in the bathroom and close the door. Yeah. They just kind of stand there and kind of protect her boobies so you don't see them too much.
Arnold is hardly ever in his own love scenes, but he's always busting into other people's.
He is, and he was totally in The Running Man with this. So I think it's in his contract. It's like, if there's not some kind of hot Hollywood bust through the wall with the naked boobs, forget it.
Yeah. So
I'm not doing it.
So be warned, the couple doing the cheeseburger in this movie shows
boobies.
There's some boobies.
But am I the only one who's disappointed when it's just a flash of them and we don't actually get a good long look? I mean,
that's the reason why I realized that she was on top, because I rewound it. I was like, "Oh, I missed the boobies." And I was
"Oh, I missed the boobies."
And then after I got over the fact that I really couldn't see the boobies really well, I was like, "What the hell? Why is she on top?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird. The whole thing. But you know what? It reminds me of a lot of movies back then. I'm Googling the cheeseburger. It was a thing back in the day. Honestly, with old movies like this, it was a thing they did to just be a flash in the pan. So some 14-year-old's like, dude, pause. Give me the remote. Pause it. You know, I mean, it's that whole.
You really think so? You really think that a production team is standing around saying, all right, now make a note for the editor that this has to be really brief to cause people to want to see more?
I think so. I just think teenagers do. Whether they design it to or not, that's what they do. And it keeps them from getting too much of a, you know, getting too close to X ratings or NC-17 now.
It's perfect because it would be just enough time for my mom to go, but then she wouldn't leave the movie. It'd be like, oh.
No, it'd be enough for my dad to jump up and throw a blanket on the TV is what it would be.
It would be too late.
And he would end up knocking the VCR off and then break the antenna, kill the dog, and the cat would go, because he just got his leg pinched. That was censorship in the Johnson house.
That's awesome.
Doing the cheeseburger.
Indeed. So we talked about Bill Paxton. What else? the lady just so willing to join his stupid cause once she,
right,
you know,
because he was fighting to save his daughter.
Yeah, right. I don't know.
That's gotta be a trope of sometime. There's gotta be a ton of movies out there where your story is psycho, but it has this one compelling element. Yeah. In this case, save a little girl.
Alyssa Milano dresses like my sisters did back then.
Yeah, totally.
Everybody did.
Yeah,
yeah. I
hate that look.
And it's funny you should mention that, Randy, because my wife really will watch a movie. She'll be totally out of a movie and will not even consider going to see it if there's not some element of that. Like in Tron, Suzanne had no interest in seeing Tron. But when they showed that it was a father-son kind of emotional relationship, right, let's go see it.
Oh, it draws people. Of course it does. It's just that it's so basic in this movie.
But it works the other way, too, because I would have never went and seen the Titanic if it had been, you know, that. But if you tell me there's this boat that's going to sink.
You know, oh, I see what you're saying. So it works both ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. That guy, it's the guy what made Aliens? I'm going. all right. Let's do some.
What was that?
Let's do some clips. What? Did you hear something? I heard something, too. What was that?
Nothing. I didn't hear nothing.
Oh. Was that someone yelling at you?
No.
Brian Dunaway, clean up your damn. Don't leave your thong on the couch. Whatever.
Mister.
Okay, there was a line very early in the film. We'll start with these clips where Arnold makes a cultural comment on the youth of today. And I don't want to give it away. Here it is.
Here come the sandwiches.
Why don't they just call him Grilled George? It will cut down all the confusion, I think.
Oh, Dad, that's so old.
Now, when I was a boy and rock and roll came to East Germany, the communists said it was subversive. Maybe they were right.
What a that's your social commentary.
I'd like to.
Well, it was all just a way of explaining his accent. But I was bothered by the idea that he associated Boy George with rock and roll.
Yeah. When rock and roll came to my neighborhood. Plus, it was a kind of a post, you know, pre, let's be more accepting of sort of the alternative lifestyle period in our history. Yeah. So it's like, why don't they just call him Girl George and save a lot of time?
Back when I used to listen to Kraftwerk.
Anyway. All right. Let's get past that. We got one where we're going to have a normal life conversation, which is, again, kind of goes to that trope of going to the mountains, escaping your previous life. Just want to have a normal time. And here's Arnie talking about it.
Who is doing it?
You've made enemies all over the world, John. It could have been the Syrians, the South Americans, the Russians, or a terrorist group. They're going to find you.
You are going to make a normal life here.
You will, I promise. I'm going into the city to coordinate with the federal people. We'll nail those bastards. Federal people.
That cracked me up so bad. Oh, the federal people.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's just, it's a time where people are less self-aware of military things because it's the 80s and everything's going great and we're the most popular, powerful thing in the world and none of that stuff matters.
Just like Star Trek. Yes, this is Starfleet calling.
Right. Who else would be calling?
Yeah. That's weird. Starfleet, the federal people, you know.
The federal people.
Same thing. Here's one about, you better cooperate, says this guy in a chair whose life is going to be limited in a very quick fashion. I kind of like this. Here it is.
Then you got to cooperate, right?
Wrong.
Short but sweet. That's when you know he means business, right? He's not going to mess around. Yeah. He's not going to negotiate. He's going to just shoot you. You douche sitting in that chair in my house. I don't know. Something about that was empowering.
Exactly. And that whole first little setup was like that. I mean, he didn't just take it. I mean, he shot the guy right away. He got in his car. He's like, oh, they ripped my distributor cap out. I don't give a crap. I will push the dang thing if I have to. And then, you know, he gets in the plane and he's like, okay, I'm a black Hawaiian guy with a Hawaiian shirt and a cap on. No one suspects anything. And, you know, he totally breaks his neck. He jumps out. It's just, wow, it's just so empowering, like you said.
Except the music was really dumb during the whole part.
Bing, bing, you know,
to really emphasize that he has superpowers, they should have had him use his super speed to put the cables back into the truck engine successfully, like to connect the distributor to the spark plugs, like really fast.
While it was rolling.
Yeah.
So you're like, where are these other feats of strength that he obviously possesses?
Yeah. Super speed needed to come in right there.
Yep. That would have been good.
Nice. Would you guys have let those three guys into an airport? I mean, 6'2" Arnold Schwarzenegger, sweaty, dressed in a freaking thermal tee that's open all the way down to his belly button. Some tall black guy with a Jamaican hat and a Hawaiian shirt, and then greasy little 5'2" Guido looking guy.
Ferengi. He looked like Quark.
There is no way in post 9/11 world with those guys make it onto a plane.
Apparently in the 80s, airports were wide open.
Yeah, big time. Nobody's anywhere. Nobody's watching anything.
So we're airplanes. Sir, we're taking off. I'm sorry, I'm airsick. Oh, okay.
Well, in that case.
your sleeping friend's not breathing. Bad Tortelli accent and threat is our next clip.
Colonel Matrix, if you kill President Velasquez, I will send her back to you. If you try anything else, I will mail her to you in pieces.
Pieces.
There is no way you can get away with that.
Who was the guy you had to kill? Hold on.
Colonel Matrix, if you kill President Velasquez.
Velasquez.
Oh.
Come on, man. Tortelli. I know you got to pay the bills.
Have you ever tried to mail anything in the U.S.? There's no way you could get away with mailing body parts.
No? Have you tried to do that?
No way. Because they always ask mail, that.
You can't even mail a bottle of wine anymore.
Body parts. You got to do UPS and pack it yourself.
You got to do DHL now to send body parts.
I will mail you. No way. Extract that. I will FedEx you her parts.
All right.
Is there a UPS station where you could pick this up near your house?
Hey, here's a question. Was Terminator 1 in 84, was that already kind of culturally had its impact? Like, people knew the catchphrases already? Like, did this movie come out?
I think it was getting there, yeah.
Well, because he did
I think this solidified it.
Well, he did an I'll be back line.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that has to be because everybody was, you know, they're all still high on Terminator. But it didn't seem like it was too soon.
Well, it was one of those lines from the movie that, you know, A, it was very relevant because he's like, all right, I'll be back. And then he comes barreling through the front door with a truck. But it's also a nice short one. Yeah. It's also a nice short one that people can imitate. Hey, did you see Terminator? Oh, the guy goes, I'll be back. Oh, it's so awesome.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what my mindset was then.
But. And then 87, he did it again in Running Man.
Yeah, so, he did it in everything for a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In fact, did he ever not do it? I don't know.
Even in Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah, he did it in Kindergarten Cop.
I'll be back, you little twerps.
They make fun of that in Last Action Hero. But the thing to remember about these earlier 80s films is that there was no internet, so people didn't really have the ease of comparison that we do.
Yeah, this was a pure meme.
We used to sing camp songs to, you know, so we could memorize this stuff well before the internet. Our songs. And
that's how we did it back.
The 80s.
All right. Here he is saying it. I captured it anyway. It's 2 seconds.
I'll be back, Bennett.
Okay. We hope so. You got to go kill the guy and get back. We know.
Bennett. That's not as cool as Matrix for last name.
No, it's not.
Dead Tired. I don't remember what this is.
Well, that's his line to the.
Oh, yeah.
The line to the stewardess.
This is one of these lines to the stewardess. So here you go. This is him saying that. 9 seconds worth.
Excuse me, how long is the flight?
We land in Valverde in exactly 11 hours.
Thank you. And do me a favor. Don't disturb my friend. He's dead tired.
Oh, Valverde is where they're going.
Oh, and to that end, actually, can I have a trope for you.
There you go.
So you've got the wristwatch that goes boop, boop.
yep.
You know, loudly. You know, thus it how it doesn't give him away when he's stealthing around outside the mansion is great.
Yeah, man. And it was just some cheap Casio piece of garbage.
It only does that when you look at it, though.
Yeah,
it's like a boo from Super Mario Brothers.
I see.
That was the worst cut scenes ever. It was the same thing, and it wasn't even from the set. It was just like some brightly lit room where they had some guy's arm with the watch. It took me out of the movie every time.
Yeah.
That was the thing that did it for me. It was the stupid watch cut scene.
It wasn't the kettle drum.
No, not at all.
Or the saxophone at the wrong moment.
I still believe.
All right. That's Dead Tired. Oh, what did I just click? All right, there we go. Sassy daughter to the bad dude. So if you're a little kid, I mean, I know what they're trying to say is, she's her father. The fruit hasn't fallen far from the tree. She's kind of scrappy like her dad, but this just about gets her killed, what she says. And the guy even shows, I think his only, Tortelli shows a little compassion for once in the entire movie, and she just about blows it. Here it is.
Today will be my last day as a civilian. Your father seemed to be cooperating. You will be together with him soon. Wouldn't that be nice?
Not nearly as nice as watching him smash your face in.
Take her below.
For those of you who haven't seen the movie yet, folks, that was Nick Tortelli.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. And yeah. I'll tell you, she was a lot safer with Nick Tortelli than Arnold Schwarzenegger, because the man had a freaking arsenal in his mountain cabin, and his passphrase for the freaking thing was 13.
Yep.
That was it.
Yep.
The passcode was 13.
And how awesome are those agents that the helicopter left behind to help him? Well, they were good.
They got shot in 2 seconds.
They were dead in like 30 seconds.
His old boss. The guy goes, how good are they? The guy goes, oh, they're the best. I mean, not as good as you, but the best. And like, they fall down like they've been, you know.
The first guy never even leaves that one spot.
No,
right.
And he's dead. So what you're saying is there's this huge gap between the best and then Arnold. There's like this giant chasm.
It's a huge, huge difference. That. It's
really weird. Have your superpowers, of course.
No. Okay, I got a line here called, I've been kidnapped. Oh, so she's talking to the cop. I was just trying to imagine a situation in a mall cop situation where you'd actually say this, and it just seemed way too nonchalant. But check out the sweet music behind it. Check it out.
Listen, there's this huge guy outside in a green t-shirt, and he's a paranoid maniac, and he's kidnapped me, and I need your help.
I'll check it out.
Thank you.
Okay, Tommy Chong's daughter.
You don't look kidnapped.
No. Yeah. How do you know he's a psychopathic or whatever she called him?
Exactly. So there's a guy kidnapping you and he's outside. Wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense. Come with me, lady.
Yeah. Let me call that.
Stay right here. Problem solved. Thank you very much.
And let me call my buddy. I'm a mall cop. We'll call my buddy who's picking up on mall chicks.
Yeah. You want to watch me beat up some guy?
Yeah. Somebody up? Oh, man.
Then he's like 5 seconds later, like, I need backup. This dude's like 6'2".
All right.
A million pounds.
So they break out. They're in the car. He's already torn the seat out. And she's demanding some questions be answered by Arnie. And his answer is simple. Check it out.
You steal my car. You rip the seat out. You kidnap me. You ask me to help you find your daughter, which I very kindly do. And then you get me involved in a shootout where people are dying and there's blood spurting all over the place. And then I watch you rip a phone booth out of the wall, swing from the ceiling like Tarzan. And then there's a cop that's going to shoot you and I save you. And he starts chasing me. Are you going to tell me what's going on or what?
No.
you could pretty much skip like 20 minutes and just catch up on her little recap right there.
I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I have a little clip now. Every time somebody says I don't agree with, I just go,
no.
I'm going to do that every time.
No. No.
Yes. All right. Anyway, that was pretty funny, I thought. And then I lied. I lied.
Yeah, the line
most
to
Most famous
Sully.
Quote from the movie.
You know what? Yeah. I just watched this movie this morning. You'd think
you
it'd be
more descriptive names on your files there, Scott. Yeah,
was it the first time you've ever seen the film?
No.
Have you ever heard of this?
No,
I've
seen it.
That's a good question. We haven't talked about that this episode. Has everybody seen this? And
did you
see
Ibbett it? Hasn't seen it. He's the only one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd seen it, but I don't remember it at all.
I saw it, I think, at the theater, and I saw it later again, so... It was kind of racy for me to go see it. I wasn't supposed to go see it.
No, these were those kinds of movies when I was a teenager. It's like, oh, we got to go see Predator and whatever. My mom would be like, no.
She would be like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. No.
Yeah. Every time.
Hey, Mom, can I go see a movie?
No.
No.
My mom's voice wasn't quite like that. All right. Here's that line then. The famous line.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last?
That's right, Major. You did.
I lied.
You should mash that up with the
Dirty Harry.
Add that to the scream pile, please.
Yes, the scream pile. Hey, that dude that does that for the show, I forgot your name. Do that. Put that one in there. He's been mashing stuff up. That stuff's
scream
great.
Pile.
Okay. Funny dude head bash. This is that thing I played a little earlier, but I just love the grunty noises he makes. So Arnold basically springs out behind a pile of something. After a Jeep goes by, grabs this guard and has his way with him. And I love the sound of him grunting. It's great. So from now on, I also have that. I just love that.
Oh, man.
Hey, did you guys catch, was there like a half of Wilhelm scream when one of the Jeeps went off? a cliff. It's like they wanted to use the Wilhelm scream, but the scream was too long.
They made up their own, I think.
And they cut it?
Yeah, or something. Yeah, I heard that. I didn't record it, but I know what you're talking about.
Nice.
I just thought, what? Why not just use the Wilhelm? It's fine.
Well, I think it was too long. I think because the Jeep was like literally only like 5 feet off the ground. It went off the ground, but and it sounded like they just used part of it.
Yeah. This film had more stunt dives than Cirque du Soleil. It was incredible. They could have used the Wilhelm 100 times.
I completely agree. All right, we have two more clips. This one is Hudson doing his business. I just thought it'd be cool to hear Paxton talk, so here he is.
Repeat, this is Whiskey X-ray 448 for General Kirby. Urgent, you respond.
Attention, unidentified aircraft. This is the Coast Guard cutter Marauder.
You are flying over the San Miguel Gunnery Range. This is a highly restricted area. You must change course or you will be forced to land. Acknowledge.
There's a big future for you in film, boy.
See, when I saw him in this movie, when I saw it the other night, all the things I could think of was, it looks like it's Weird Science all over again when he was playing Chet. And I was just waiting for him to burp.
And that came like 3 years later, right?
Yeah.
He was about to hit, you know, some good pay dirt for acting, but he wasn't in this. I think it was a bit part. I really wanted to say, attention, unidentified Eastern European accent. Please identify yourself.
What the crap?
Whisco Tango Nina Nina.
All right, I've saved the best for last, guys. This is the grunting and groaning of that fight in the steam room thing.
Love it.
Steam room.
And it goes on for a bit. It's 35 seconds of this, including the electrical part, which is the best thing in the entire film. So I'm going to play it now. Enjoy every little morsel of this because it really is awesome. From, again, Commando, grunting and groaning.
You could easily be taking a dump.
I'm going number two.
John, I feel good.
Oh, my gosh.
That scream right in the middle of it.
It's so great.
You don't want to criticize it, but that's exactly what I would do if I got slammed against the electrical fence. I'd make that same noise.
That was an amazing series of grunts and groans.
Oh, that is just fantastic. That is fantastic. That was my favorite thing. And Ibn had warned me. He's like, oh, wait until you get the grunty part. And I'm like, exactly. Whatever. It's not going to be that big. And it was the best thing in the movie. And it was long. That was uncut, by the way. 35 seconds straight of that. Just
I believe it.
Grunting and groaning before they started talking again. No music.
That's awesome.
They took out the steel drum for that. All right. It's time. What is it time for? Oh, you know what it's time for? And I can't find my song here.
Is it time to talk about?
It's awards. Oh, do you have something else? You can say something else, too. What do you got?
Oh, that's fine. No, I was just going to talk about General Franken Kirby. That's what Arnold Schwarzenegger kept calling him, Franken Kirby, and I kept thinking of the Frankenberries.
Oh, Franken Kirby. His name was Franken Kirby?
No, it was actually Franklin Kirby, but Arnold Schwarzenegger pronounced it Franken Kirby.
Okay, got it.
I have it. I know what you are saying.
Delicious.
All right, let's do some awards here, and we have a few to give away. FilmSack Awards start with Best Freddie Mercury Lookalike Award goes to Bad Dude Aussie Guy.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
The Obi-Wan award goes to the general, dude. Because who else? Nobody.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. Guy, what looks like Quark from DS9, slimy dude at the airport.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Talking Wonder and why. Loading things montage award right after he hit the beach. Love that.
I'm glad that the cocking and loading things montage wasn't the ice cream eating one.
No, so that was not it. Cocking and loading the ice cream. The Vader Best Bad Guy Award goes to Black Dude What Died in Hotel.
Mm, true.
He was cool. Best Death Award. I really like the airplane neck break, but I got to go with Pitchfork.
Oh, I forgot about the Pitchfork.
Mm. Yeah, Pitchfork preceded. That was right before your fans.
Saw blade to the head. Yeah.
They were just too brief.
The guy's arm off. That was just, I did not see that.
Those
coming.
Were too brief. The chucking those things, they just happened too fast. I wanted that to linger, but
that's
Pitchfork
why I
was
sent
great.
You the screenshot of the saw blade to the neck because you know the blood squirting. It was a really. It makes a good desktop.
Yeah,
I think.
It's not bad if you blink though, you missed it, which is too bad. But. The I Don't Like You Either Arm Removal Award, you know, from Star Wars. Dude in the fight. That guy that got his arm cut off.
Yeah.
It just squirts. Yeah.
That's pretty good. It was so meaty. Man, it looked something that you would see at the butcher shop.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
The best Harry Potter award goes to Arnie and his little permanent scar on his forehead that never went away. Like a little lightning bolt up there.
Yeah.
The Star Trek award I'm going to hold off till we get to emails because somebody dug up some stuff and I want to save that. Mm. The least likely to happen in today's post 9/11 world, jumping off the landing gear, I think is probably just about as crazy as that gets. The Costner Robin Hood bad accent award goes to Nick Tortelli. And the All Our Buildings Are Made Out of Cardboard award goes to the camp he blew up.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
stuff was flying everywhere.
Yeah.
That looked like
I love how it just makes Bennett smile and talk to himself.
Yeah.
He's in another building. Right. He's not thinking this building may blow up, too. He's just thinking, all according to my plan.
He's thinking, I look sexy in my chainmail. Soundtrack great. I'd give it it's kind of MacGyver-y / 80s / weird as hell that they mixed in like steel drums and stuff. I'd give it a D. I thought it was really obnoxious.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, so wrong.
Ugh. I'm giving it a freaking A.
What? Ibbit, give me a grade. What do you?
It's not an A, but it's not.
I'm giving C-. It
an
A.
C minus. All right. So a little in your direction. I'm going a big fat D.
A,
D A. That's it for awards.
It just was so out of place.
No, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just like it doesn't have any connection to anything. It's the dumbest thing ever.
Just like every scene in this movie.
Well, that's a good point.
No perfect connection.
I give you that. All right. Where are we now? Twitter post. Oh, yeah. Twitter post. This is where you guys get to sum it up in 140 characters or less. Let's start this week. I'll mix it up. Let's start this week with Brian Dunaway.
Commando, a great movie about Bill Pax as a military air traffic controller who has to deal with some macho asshole played by Arnold Schwarzenegger. I know, right? How awesome would that movie have been?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Let's now go with Randy Jordan.
Commando, Arnold Schwarzenegger at the height of his badassery hunts down Freddie Mercury, and only a small army stands in his way. What more do you want? A girl firing a rocket launcher?
Backwards?
How did she not know she was firing that backwards? I mean, it had the carry thing on the backside.
And she said she read the instructions. That the dumb joke after.
How did she pull the trigger is my question.
So dumb.
Well, some of them don't have the arrow pointing this way forward.
They have a trigger, though.
Yeah. Missiles come out here.
That's true.
And then finally, Brian Ibbett.
Commando, a movie about Schwarzenegger bonding with his daughter after she moves to an island mansion. Or at least that's what I think it was about. The steel drum music put me to sleep.
I love that. That was great.
That's another movie I'd like to see. That would be fun to take these movies and
make other
slightly
great
alter them to make them different. We got to figure
change the focus.
Let's figure something like that out. That'd be fun.
Kinda
every
like
week.
The movie trailers, like The Shining and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think we should do that. We should repurpose these movies after we're done.
By the way, you could cut this into a tremendous horror movie trailer.
Oh yeah,
Commando would make for a fine horror movie,
dude. That screenshot you sent alone,
easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could be. Yeah, I totally agree.
Cut that between scenes of Schwarzenegger laughing, yep, and then somebody getting chopped up, and then him laughing again.
Yeah,
that'd be perfect.
End it with a pipe to the gut or the electrical guy, something like that.
Yeah,
that is a great death, though. I mean, to have the steam from the thing that he's pinned to
coming
through
what?
The hole in his stomach.
From
what
all
was
that
it
steam,
coming from?
You know,
the wall.
What? You know these
to
old
go into another steam pipe.
Brian, in South America, all the houses are run on steam. Duh.
That's right.
It is weird.
Steam-powered mansion, of course.
It is totally weird idea. All right, so here's what I learned while you were prancing around in your chainmail T-shirt. Worst mall cops ever.
Oh, yeah.
Arnold
is actually awesome.
Arnold walks funny. I can never quite tell which way to point my rocket launcher.
Yeah.
And never be late on garbage day. The number one thing I learned.
That's right.
Let's do an email, and this kind of answers the Star Trek connection. Andy wrote in. Said this, Chelsea Field played a flight attendant in Commando. That's the chick he talked to. Is married to Scott Bakula, so there's a good connection. Captain Archer on Enterprise. By the way, Andy, I think you should do this every week. Send us the connections.
Andy.
You'll save us a lot of time. Phil Adams, an officer in the Galleria, probably named or maimed or killed, did stunt work on Next Generation. Or, excuse me, original series. Star Trek, the TV series, stunt double Michael Pataky. One episode in 67, stunt double for William Shatner.
Wow.
And then one episode in 67, again for Shatner. The Trouble with Tribbles, he was stunt double again for Shatner. Amok Time, The Trouble with Tribbles, and Oh, it's both those. Sorry. He repeated it for, I don't know why. Branscombe Richmond played Vega in Commando, and in Star Trek III, The Search for Spock played a Klingon gunner.
Hmm.
And then finally, wow. Rick Sayawaya, something like that, was on Voyager as a stunt double and on Deep Space Nine as a stunt double. So, good Lord.
Did this guy work for Star Trek? Paramount or something?
He apparently has a better book than I've got.
Yeah.
For Pete's sake.
Isn't that crazy? Anyway, Majel Barrett, thanks for writing in, letting us know what you think of... no, seriously, Andy, if you want to send us more of these, this would save us time. And I can always have a Star Trek connection more than just like, well, I'm pretty sure that guy was on the bridge one time.
Right. But yeah. Wasn't Bill Paxton in a Star Trek?
We would do that. We would sit and ask that, wouldn't we?
Arnold Schwarzenegger took
Space Nine.
Arnold Schwarzenegger took steroids, and so did Hawk one time before.
Yeah, see, exactly. Exactly. Rene Aubergenois was in Benson, and so did so and so as a guest star, and he played Odo. And you know, those are we can't do the Kevin Bacon method anymore. We gotta have some hard data.
Right.
Hard data.
Thank you so much for that email. You guys can send us emails to filmsack@gmail.com. Keep those coming. We absolutely love them. The site to visit is filmsack.com. You can always follow us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/filmsack. Okay.
We should play clips.
Because we forgot, or not really, we're going to play clips. These are, and then I closed the thing I needed. Okay. quotes from Scott Fletcher about this movie. Quote works every time. Here it is.
Come on, you piece of fly or die. Works every time. Blah.
Awesome.
Best part is the blah at the end.
Blah.
That was a good one. Check this out.
You asshole.
There's a lot of bad language in this movie.
Yeah,
I think I brought that to the show because I said more bad words this movie.
Yeah, you cuss ball. Jeez, yeah. Listen to you. Yeah. Let's see. This one's about not disturbing my friend. Or don't disturb. Oh, yeah, the sleeping one.
Don't disturb my friend. He's dead tired.
And this one.
You're a funny man, Sully. I like you. That's why I'm going to kill you last.
It's weird hearing him do it normal now.
I love that, though. It was so upbeat, and that's how that dialogue, it should have been read. That's just so funny.
And then here he is, finally, with the long stringing Ooga Ooga thing together. I don't even know how to describe it, but here it is.
Please send me that. I need that as my new ringtone.
I hope he was drinking or something.
Please. I need it.
All right. I'll send it to you.
I got
to
live for that.
All right. Here's the update on what's happening next. We are watching the DVD, or excuse me, the Blu-ray edition of, what is it?
It's
Flash Gordon. Sorry. Flash Gordon, which was donated by a fan. We'll give him full credit next week when we air this. Donated to
it
all of this.
It's going to be awesome.
I can't wait. We're going to watch this movie together. It's about an hour and 45 minutes. We're going to record that as a bonus sack for next week. So the show after this one will be that bonus sack. And then we are off for 1 week due to travel and some other commitments. So we're not going to be able to have one that week. So 1 week off, but then right back at you with, I think the next one's the,
Free Jack.
Free Jack. So,
maybe I'll watch that and record one of my own just and listen
just to entertain
myself.
Yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
And by that time, Randy will be in the States again. You'll be in the United States of America, kissing the soil on which you were born.
Yes. I just love the idea of a Brian Dunaway only commentary track. Where instead of like a commentary, it's like a laughter Terry. Like all you really hear
crap?
Is him
I would enjoy
grumbling
that.
And exclaiming.
I'm not going to lie. Your idea is a good one. I would laugh. That would make me laugh. I like listening to Brian laugh.
What the hell?
So there
now, the only drawback, by the way, and this is for the audience, is that Flash Gordon is not on streaming. So you're going to want to go get, you're going to want to put that on Netflix right now and have it mailed to you before.
You are so smart.
And as far as we know, the DVD version shouldn't be any different than this one.
It's exactly the same. No different.
Yeah. Same running time, everything.
Yeah, they haven't changed much.
There's no director's cut.
Yeah, they don't have.
Maybe I should get the Netflix version and play both at the same time.
Speaking of Freddie Mercury. He's in there.
Yeah.
Well, he sings.
Oh, he's yeah. I mean, it's a Queen soundtrack.
Yep. You know that guy, the guitarist, is like a full on astronomical, like PhD, like
astronomical.
Brian
May, absolutely.
Yeah, he's awesome. Listening to him the other day, it was like some professor. Like you weren't in Queen. Scaramouche, Scaramouche.
He still performs too. Yeah,
John Deacon's got some background too, and I can't remember what it is. He's,
as far as bands go, Queen was had a pretty smart group.
Oh, they're rocking, yeah. Man! I love Queen. Yeah. Anyway, can you do the Fandango? Of course you can. That's going to do it for this episode of Film Sack. This has been wonderful. I've really enjoyed it. Hope you guys have as well. Don't forget all the stuff I just told you. We will be here next week again with Flash Gordon. And until then, everyone within the sound of my voice, have a wonderful week, and we'll see you then.
All right, boys. Thunderbolts and lightning. Very, very frightening.
Galileo.
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 No, no,
something,
no,
something
no, no.
With a thing doesn't like me. Nobody has a thing that I can't remember.
These guys, too much red meat.
Keep going, Mom.
I don't see any boogeymen or nasty guys.
Go on, Mom.
Grooving on a Sunday afternoon.
Mom, is there any jobs around here?
Nothing legal.
Come on, Nook.
Dad?
Playing dead.
Dad! Oh, Dad.
Come on, Sam, give Mom a break.
There's no TV. Have you seen a TV? I haven't seen a TV, Mike.
Sammy.
Lucy. Rules. We got some rules around here.
Are you serious, Grandpa?
Great, Dad.
Read the TV guide. You don't need a TV.
It's Harry.
My name's Max.
I'm Lucy.
How are you?
Hello. Hi, Thorne.
Say hello, Thorne.
I'm at the mercy of your sex glands, bud.
Sam, just scope in your civilian wardrobe.
Pussycat.
Star.
Ex-hippies. Moonbeam, a moon child. But Star's great, I like Star. I'm Michael.
Michael. Michael's great, I like Michael.
Star.
It's Michael.
Star. Hey, Michael.
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 Mikey.
Michael. You're Michael.
Sam.
The closet monster.
Dad.
Dad. Sam.
Dad.
Night, Sam.
Good night, Grandpa.
Hey, Michael. Maggots, Michael. They're only noodles, Michael.
Michael. Michael. Michael. Michael. Michael. Michael. Michael. Michael. Michael. Michael.
It's
blood.
Michael. Michael. Yeah, short.
Michael. 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 Michael.
Michael.
Go on. Marco.
Michael.
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 Good night, Michael.
Michael.
Hey, Michael.
Michael Emerson.
Michael.
Yeah.
Michael.
Michael.
Michael. Michael.
Mike. Phone Mike.
Mike. Max. Sam.
Sam.
Mike.
Michael.
Sam.
Grandpa.
Yeah.
You have a big day tonight, Grandpa?
Mr. Johnson.
Funny, Mike.
Mike.
Mike, I'm a Mike. Mike, don't open the door. Mike.
What's going on, Mike?
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 Nook.
Michael?
Nanook.
What about Nanook? Mike. Your creature of the night, Michael. Michael? Goddamn shit-sucking vampire.
Sam, you wait. Sam! Sam!
Mike!
Hello?
Sam?
It's not Michael.
Michael.
Sam! Sammy!
So where are you? The boy nun!
Sammy!
Hey, Sam. Hey, Sam.
Mike?
Hey, Sam.
Sam!
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 Sam! Sam.
Michael.
Hello, Thorne. Thorne.
Star! Star!
Michael.
Hey, Star.
Michael.
Hey, Star.
Michael.
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 Thorne. Sam.
Mom.
Max. Max.
Sam.
Max.
Max.
Michael. Max.
Michael.
Michael.
Max.
Thorne.
Edgar and Alan.
Max. Sam. And Edgar and Alan. Frog?
No.
No,
Sam.
Sam.
Max.
Sam.
Sam.
Max.
Sam.
Michael.
Star.
Michael.
Star.
Michael.
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 Michael. Sam.
Mike.
Michael. Michael.
Mike.
David.
David.
That was David's blood.
You drank someone's blood? Are you crazy?
David.
David.
Michael.
Star.
Star.
Mike.
David.
The Frog Brothers.
Edgar.
Star. Star.
Gladys.
Sam.
Mike.
Come on, Sam. Flies and the undead go together like bullets and guns.
Mike. Mike! Mike! Mike!
They pull the mind scramble on this one! Sam!
Burn rubber does not mean warp speed! Cool it, Nook!
Come on, Nook.
Sam! Max, Max.
I'm not talking about Max, right? The hell with Max! Grandpa, the Widow Johnson.
Thorne.
Lucy. Sam.
Some yell and scream, some go quietly. Some explode, some implode.
Nook!
Michael! You killed Marco!
Mike! 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 Death by stereo.
Sam!
And look out.
The attack of Eddie Munster.
David.
Michael.
Michael.
Mike.
Michael.
Hey, Sam.
Mike.
Sam. Michael.
Sam.
Michael.
Michael.
To Michael.
Lucy. David.
Max. Sam. David.
Lucy. It's Sam and Michael.
It's Michael.
Lucy.
Lucy.
Max.
Michael. Michael. Michael.
Lucy.
Sam.
Star. Star.
Bloody.
Michael.
Michael.
One thing about living in Santa Carla I never could stomach. All the damn vampires.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down, when you're strange.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.